Welcome back, Shame Slayers and Shadow Sparklers. We are here again with another week of Love, Light, and Black Holes podcast. I'm Warren Garza, and I am diving right in today because this episode is coming to you a little later than normal. I usually publish on Wednesdays, and this is Thursday. And what I want to share is this process a little bit. I recorded an entire podcast episode yesterday. It doesn't matter what it was on. I was all in. I had all of the things done. I was editing it last night, and I was like, I fucking hate this. Like, I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to do this. This isn't the energy that I want to put out. This is so old version of me. This is so in line with where I was coming from and not where I'm going. And I put it in the trash. And I woke up this morning and I was like, I know exactly what I want to transmit, what I want to put out there, what I want to share with the people today, because this is exactly what is happening with me and what I'm going through right now. I want to talk to the part of you that already knows, the little whisper, the little voice, the knowing, the feeling, the shift that's already happening inside of you, not the part that is Googling and researching and waiting for one more sign, one signier sign, a different colored feather, a different song, a different sequence of numbers. This is the part of you that already knows, has known for a while, that something in your life has run its course. The job, the relationship, the version of yourself that you built for other people's comfort. The old part of you that keeps holding on to these outdated, limiting beliefs, the story you've been telling about why now isn't the right time, this part of you knows, and it's exhausted from pretending that it doesn't. And that exhaustion creates a whole slew of issues and unalignment and triggers and patterns in your life. This is the part of you that's tired of your own excuses, tired of hearing the same story play out about all of the reasons why you can't just go do the thing that you want to do right now. That's who I'm talking to today. And that's who I want you to call forward, because I know exactly where you are. It's that familiar discomfort. You know what's wild about humans? We will choose a familiar pain over an unfamiliar joy every single time. Every single time. This is the brain's process of looking for pattern recognition. This is the ego of clinging to what is known and familiar rather than going into the unknown. The brain looks for things that are similar to where we are right now. And that's why we perpetuate the things of where we are. And it's so hard to change and get out of them and make this shift and change your energy and change your life. Because your brain is like, this is familiar, let's do more of that. That big thing that you dream about at night, the big thing that keeps you awake, the big thing that you scroll Instagram and YouTube looking for validation of, that big thing is unknown. We don't know what's going to happen if we do that. We don't know what's going to happen if we go there and try and jump this ship. Can we swim? Is there another ship waiting? Is there going to be a shark attack? Your brain thinks of all of these things that can go wrong. And so you stay. Because it's scary, because what you don't know is going to happen is so far away that you can't even fathom what it might be. And that unknown, there's so much beauty in the unknown. And I have a whole entire podcast on this podcast episode, but you stay because you don't know. And to feel this aliveness, to feel this direction of what you really want, is so far away because you haven't felt it in so long. You've been comfortable. You've been in the familiar, and your nervous system wants to stay in this place. Your brain wants to stay in this place. Your ego wants to stay in this place. More predictable, more things that you know. So you stay. You stay in the job that's slowly dimming your light because you at least know what Monday morning is going to look like. You know when your paycheck is coming. You know what benefits you have. You know what to expect. You stay in the relationship that stopped feeding you years ago because at least you know this person. At least they know you. At least it's something. At least you're not alone. At least you're not braving the dating world again at this age trying to figure it out. You stay in the version of yourself that other people are comfortable with. Just because the last time you tried to grow beyond, someone made you feel like you were too much, like that wasn't acceptable, like that wasn't going to be okay for the relationship that you had together. And here's the specific thing that I want you to hear, because this is the one that gets people. You have dressed this up in a sense. You have called it being realistic. You have called it being responsible, being grateful for what you have. You have made your smallness sound like wisdom because you're just enduring it at this point. You've made your stagnation sound like stability, which in some ways it is, but that stability becomes stagnant, and that's when it starts to consume your life. And you are so good at it sometimes, you even convince yourself, but your body knows. Your body is keeping the score, and there's a moment, usually quiet, usually late at night, usually when you're doing something completely mundane, when the knowing comes through anyways, where you feel the gap between who you are and where you're supposed to be, and it's like a physical ache. But you stuff it down. You say, I can't do that. That's not responsible. What would that even look like? How could I possibly? I can't take the leap. I can't risk all of this. And then you look at your life and you think, is this it? Then you close the tab on that thought so fast because you let it actually feel like you'll have to do something about it. And that is scary. That inconvenient truth that you have that is repeating and recycling and circling through your body, this truth is inconvenient because it probably requires you to burn a whole bunch of shit down, to start over, to begin a new path, and to go somewhere that you've never been before. You didn't build a life that you hate, though, in this place, and I want you to know that. You built a life that felt safe once, and then you outgrew it, and then you stayed anyway. And that's the part that we need to talk about, the staying through the things that don't fit anymore. And maybe it looks like this for you. Here's some specific examples. You're in a meeting that has nothing to do with what you actually want to be doing with your life, and you feel yourself like leaving your body a little bit. Every time someone talks, every time someone brings something up, you're like, this is so dumb. I don't care about this at all. This isn't what I want to be doing. Why am I spending my life doing this? And you just like disassociate. Or maybe you're scrolling someone else's life at 11 p.m. You're deep in their Instagram or their TikTok or their YouTube. And instead of feeling inspired, you feel this low-grade grief that you can't name because you don't have it and you don't know how to get it and you don't know if you deserve it and you don't know if it's possible for you to even go there. Or maybe someone asks you what you really want in life, and you freeze. Not because you don't know. You know exactly what you want. But because you've stopped letting yourself want things that feel too far away, they feel too big, they feel too impossible, so far out of reach that you're like, "There, I could never." And you just keep thinking, I could never do that. Or maybe you have a version of your life in your head, a real one, a specific one, a very detailed one that you think about and then immediately talk yourself out of, like clockwork, because you're like, there is no way. And all of these things would have to change. And that is so far out of my comfort zone. Maybe you're tired in a way that sleep doesn't fix. This was me for so long. I kept telling my husband that I am bone tired. I am to the point where I am so exhausted. Sleep isn't fixing. I mean, turns out my adrenals were fully blown and I have like next to zero iron in my body. And there's a lot of like physiological things going on. But of course, there's also like this soul tired feeling, that this tiredness comes from spending your energy on a life that isn't yours, on doing things you don't want to do, on saying yes when you really want to scream, fuck no. So you tell yourself you're being patient. You tell yourself you're being strategic and responsible and you're doing the right thing. But if you're honest, and I'm asking you to be honest right now, you're just scared. And you're scared dressed up. A strategy is still scared. There's a version of your life you think about and immediately talk yourself out of. I want you to hold that version in your mind for the rest of this episode. Don't let yourself close the tab. Don't think of all of the reasons why it can't happen. I see you. I am you. I get it. I've been there. I just recently jumped ship and quit my full-time job and went all in on something that I don't know if it's going to work. And I'm putting all of my eggs in this basket because I believe in myself. And I'm not talking to you from this mountaintop of I have it all figured out. I've done this several times in my life. I sold all of the things that I own and moved to Spain. I moved back from Spain and bought a one-way ticket to Bali. I moved back from Bali and moved in with my now husband. And then we moved to Arizona. Like I have burned down so many times. And every time that I have, every single time, it has worked out so beautifully. Something amazing was on the other side, something unexpected, something I didn't know, some part of myself that I forgot existed, that I haven't touched in a long time, that I hadn't looked at and experienced and witnessed in a long time was revealed and uncovered and shown to me because I took that leap. So when you're validating staying, here's what it actually costs. This is a little tough love for you, and it's Taurus season again. So, you know, this is what the math of staying looks like. And I'm not good at math, but I've run these numbers a few times and I've experienced them myself. So let's get into it. Every day that you stay and the thing that you've outgrown costs you something. Maybe it costs you energy, the chronic low-grade drain of maintaining a life that doesn't fit. Maybe it costs you your time. And time is the one thing you actually cannot get back. It is wasted time. And that is something that I have kicked myself for a few times in the past. But then I realize, like, it's the right time when I finally arrive and then everything opens up. But maybe it costs you your sense of self, because every day you stay in a situation that requires you to be smaller than you are is a day that you send yourself the message that your full self is not welcome here. You've rolled in the welcome mat, you've locked the door, and you're like, you know what? No, that's too much. That's too big. That's too scary. Take that somewhere else. And here's the thing about that message. Your body keeps the score. And this book, I'll link it down below, is called Your Body Keeps the Score. And it helped me transform my relationship with trauma, my PTSD from surviving a terrorist attack, and all of the things that I have physically stored in my body that have turned into literal physical disease, especially like physical fibroids in my womb, which became a storage facility for all of the emotions that I was not processing, all of the things that I did not say, all of the things that I wanted to do and avoided. And the longer that you stay, the more evidence you accumulate that this is what you deserve. You have all of these validating experiences that say, oh, well, yeah, if I had leaped, then I had this big car payment and I had to get my car fixed and I wouldn't have been able to pay for that. If I had this thing, then I wouldn't have had the stability to be around and help my parents or do this thing. You have all of these validating experiences that keep you thinking that this is what you deserve, that this is where you need to be, that this is all that's what's available for someone like you, that the life in your head is for other people, braver people, luckier people, people who don't have your specific circumstances, or your specific history, or your specific wound. We make all of these excuses and we search for, again, the brain is a pattern recognition machine. We search for these validating experiences to corroborate. What we're already thinking, what we're feeling, and we look for that to be the truth. And then we say, this is now my belief. We cement it even further into our bodies, into our lives, into our belief system. And we say, well, that's it. I just proved it to myself. Case closed. And then one day you look up, 5 years have passed, and the window that was open is harder to find. It's covered in dirt. No sunshine is coming through it. Leaves and moss and vines have grown on the outside. And it's not because you closed it. The window was still open. Windows don't close. You'll have another chance. But because you spent 5 years building a case for why you can't go through it. And so all of these things made that happen. And in that case, it's very convincing by now. You've had a lot of time to work on it. You've built this entire case around it. And staying doesn't feel like a decision. It feels like just another day. And that's what makes it so dangerous, because one day turns into the next, turns into the next, turns into the next. And one day, you're 5 years down the line, you wake up, you're like, what in the fuck is this? This isn't at all what I wanted. This isn't where I want to be. This is what I want to be doing. This isn't what I have agreed to spend my life doing, my energy, my talent, my experience, my creativity, my love. All of that feels like it's been wasted. And that is a very high cost to your identity, because here is the thing that not many people talk about that matters most. Staying in situations you've outgrown don't cost you time and energy. Yes, of course they do in the long run, but it also costs you your identity. You don't recognize yourself anymore. All of the things that you wanted, all of the dreams that you had, all of these ideas, they fade away into the distance. And you're like, who is this person staring back at me in the mirror who doesn't speak up for themselves, who doesn't advocate for themselves, who doesn't go after what they want, who just like is riding the ride of life instead of taking the steering wheel and taking it to where you want it to go? And this happens slowly and quietly in ways you don't notice until you're deep in it. And believe me, I have been here. I have had to excavate myself from this deep, dark, black hole of losing myself in things, in people, in circumstances, in my health, in situations, in the loss of my dad. I've lost myself all of these different times. And I woke up one day and I was like, screw, like, who on earth is she? We don't do this. I kept saying to myself this past year, all of 2025. We don't do this. This isn't something that I do my life. This is not my life. Like, this is not what I allow. I have never allowed this kind of thing before. Why am I allowing this? And I had to eventually just like break out of it. It was like busting out of jail that I built, that I had the key to, that I was the warden of. And I had to realize what I was doing to myself, because the situations you stay in shape you. The relationships you tolerate tell you what you think you deserve. The work that you do doesn't feed you. It tells you what you think you're worth. The boundaries you don't hold tell your nervous system what's safe to ask for and what's safe not to, especially and most importantly, from yourself. And it all adds up. It all becomes the story you tell about yourself, and the story that gets harder to rewrite the longer that you leave it, the longer that you keep reading it, the longer that you keep telling other people this same old dusty, nasty ass story that, like, as it's coming out of your mouth, you're like, this is such bullshit. Like, I don't even believe this anymore. Think about the person you were 5 years ago. Where were you more or less in your life right now? Were you the same person? Were you a totally different person? Were you in totally different circumstances? Did you more or less want the same things? Were you more or less alive? Because if the answer is less, if you've been getting quieter and smaller and more resigned, that's not wisdom coming to you that you've dealt with and you were resilient in all of these things. That's erosion of your identity. And it happens so gradually. You'll just think it's getting older. You're not interested in the same things. You don't want to do the same things. You don't care about the same things. And that is part of aging. Like, there's a lot of things that I just don't have FOMO about. I don't care about. I'm in bed at 10. I'm like, wow, if we're out until like 9:30 on a Saturday, I'm like, dang. We're getting crazy tonight. And so you shift and you evolve, of course, but the core things that used to drive you, that used to excite you, that used to give you life, are those things still in your life? And I know this is uncomfortable, but sit with it for a second. Because if I'm not pushing you and you're not pushing yourself, there's no growth happening. And I might as well just have stayed, because I had to push myself. I had to kick my ass out the door to make a change. And that was scary, because once I closed that door, the locks changed and there was no going back. There was no getting back in. There was no ringing the doorbell. There was no knocking. It was like I walked out of the door, the entire life that I left dissolved behind me, and I had to figure it out with the provisions that I had, with the things that I brought, with the wisdom that I have, with the drive that I have to rediscover myself in this new place in life. And especially I felt this after my dad died. He died, that door closed, that world, that reality of him on earth dissolved. And I was left with, who the fuck am I now? Who am I without him? What am I supposed to do without him? Who am I going to turn to for wisdom, for advice, for soul reflection? I have to do this on my own. And I am a buoy out to sea, untethered, and hopefully I wash ashore on some island and make a new life. But like, I had no clue. And that was really uncomfortable. And that uncomfortable feeling fueled me. And I later learned from a girlfriend who is a psychologist, or at least studying to be one, that a lot of people don't do that. They sink to the bottom of the ocean where they were disconnected. That tether is broken. You sink to the bottom of the ocean because you're like, well, I don't fucking know. And that is when depression sets in. That's when you have a loss of all interests and you completely lose yourself and you become a shadow, a shell, a version of yourself that you'll never recognize. And I really didn't know that was an option. I wouldn't have chosen it either way, but when we were talking at dinner a while back, I was telling her all of the things that I'm telling you now and how I feel and how unmoored I was. And it just became this idea of, well, you chose to be resilient. You chose to be strong. You chose to go forward. You chose to create a new life outside of and along with all of the pain and the grief that you're carrying. And I didn't know how to do it. I don't think anyone does. I just did it. And that uncomfortable piece, sitting in being so lost and so uncomfortable and so afraid and so abandoned, in a sense, was the medicine. Because this is the shadow work. This is the work. This is looking at the thing that you are terrified to look at, but that is also holding the wisdom that you have left, the wisdom that you didn't think you had anymore, the wisdom that you have been searching for and craving and seeking is in that uncomfortable place. It's in that void. It's in that darkness. It's in the nothing. And that is where I discovered the drive and the direction. And I didn't have the map, and that's okay. But I knew at least what direction I was going in. I gassed up, I cleaned my windshield, and I fucking took off. I was pedal to the metal. I was like, all right, well, I'm not going to meander through this. Like, I got to go. And I felt this urgency to create myself, to identify myself, to reorient myself, in a sense, to who I was, to what mattered to me, to what I valued, to what I wanted to see for myself, to what I wanted to create and put out into this world. And that's when I created this podcast. And that's when I created my other offers that I have. And that's when I created the space to attract and magnetize a book deal landing in my inbox. And then I wrote the book. And now I'm creating a whole new program based on the book. And because I sat in that uncomfortable space, in that void, in that what the fuck now area of life. And again, I am so happy I did that, because that's what led me to the other side. And everything about that isn't to scare you, isn't to make you feel bad about where you are. I say this because you deserve someone who respects you enough to tell you the truth. And the truth is this: the fear is not a sign that you shouldn't go at all. If you're seeing so much fear ahead and you feel vibrating under your skin with fear, that's a sign that it matters. That's a sign that everything worth doing is terrifying before it's done. The job, the leap, the conversation, the boundary, the version of yourself that you've been keeping in draft. All of it is terrifying right up until the moment that you do it. Think about having a hard conversation with your boss or with your partner or with a friend or with a parent, something that you really need to say, something that you really need to get off your chest. I guarantee your heart's racing. I guarantee your mind is spinning. I guarantee you're probably sweating. If you're anything like me, I profusely sweat when I'm nervous. And that fear is an opportunity. You can either let it drive you or you can let it suffocate you and make you stop in your tracks, let the wheels come off the car, and then you are just a sitting duck. You have an option. You have a choice. And because I love you, and because you're listening, and because I know you need to hear this right now, what are you choosing? It's like that old Native American proverb, which wolf are you feeding? The one of fear or the one of love? The one of opportunity, the one of expansion? You always have a choice. You always have a choice, because the thing that you're staying in because it feels safe, is it actually safe or is it just familiar? It could be actually just really unsafe, because known and safe are not the same thing. Known is comfortable. Known is predictable. Known is the pain that you've already learned to manage. Safe is something totally different. Safe is the life where you actually get to be who you are, where you unfurl, where you relax, where you fly your freak flag high and you say, this is who I am and I don't give a shit, because I am safe in this love, in this body, in this health, in this job, in this idea, in this creativity. And that life on the other side of familiar, it's always been there, and you get to be who you really are. You've just been calling it fear for a reason not to go, instead of a signal that you're close. And it's big, because you have an invitation. And here's what I'm asking you to do. Not someday, not when you're ready, because you will never feel ready. Ready is a lie. I guarantee you, you will never feel ready unless you get to a point where you're like, this is so expired that if I breathe one more breath of this, like, I'm literally breathing toxic air. But I promise you, in general, most times, readiness is a myth invented by the part of you that wants to stay safe forever. You are never going to feel fully, fully ready. I don't want you to stay safe forever. I'm asking you to stop pretending you don't know what you want. You don't know who you want to be. Stop pretending like this is something that you're like, well, I don't know what I want. Like, you know what the fuck you want. You know exactly what you want. You're just afraid to admit it because it means that all of these other things have to happen. But once those things happen, you'll realize that, like, sure, maybe somewhere big. Maybe you need to move. Maybe you need to quit your job. Maybe you need to get a divorce. Maybe you need to go get that thing, weird thing in your body figured out. Go to the doctor and at least close the tab on fear. Because you've known it for a while, and the question was never whether you know or not. The question is whether you're going to let yourself do something about it. And I guarantee when you let yourself do something about it, you're going to be so fucking happy that you did, because you're going to see that that fear is fuel. And you're going to see how things start to show up in your favor when you decide to go in a direction. Because it's hard to not know. And that scattered energy is what you are sending out to the universe. And the universe is sending it right back. The universe is a mirror. The universe doesn't care about you. The universe isn't Santa Claus with a naughty and nice list. The universe isn't like, I'm going to send you this test. And if you pass and you get a good grade, then I'm going to give you the next option. It's like, no, you are getting what you're giving. This is a frequency, energy, and vibration thing. This isn't a naughty or nice or morals and values or a good person, bad person thing. This is you getting what you're giving. And if you're giving scattered energy that goes like a shotgun in every single direction, you're not going to get what you actually really want. But when you align your energy into a single point of light and you go in one single direction with all your conviction, with your pedal to the metal, with just everything inside of you trusting and knowing and leaping and taking that risk, then that's when things really start to happen. That's when things show up on your path that you need, the people, the circumstances, the opportunities, the relationships. It all starts to show up because that single point of light is focused, it's directed, and it's coming from a very authentic place because it's who you want to fucking be. And so this scattered energy goes away and you get into the single point of focus and you start seeing that all of these things that you were trying to figure out how, okay, well, sure, I'm going to quit my job, but how am I going to make money? I'm going to leave this person, but how am I going to move through life? How am I going to go to dinner if I'm single? You know, like you think about all of these hows, and that's where people get caught up because they can't see it. And you don't have the blueprint and you don't have the exact steps, the strategy of how you're going to figure it out. This isn't business. You don't need a business plan for life. You need a purpose. You need a reason. You need fucking funding. And your why is the funding. This is your angel investor from the universe. Once you get clear on your why and what it is that you are going towards and why it matters to you, what your purpose is with it, then the how starts to figure itself out. And I wouldn't be saying this if I hadn't done it many, many times. The how always shows up when your clear and intentional and authentic focus is one single point of light. And you're not too late. I thought about this so much last year. I wasted time. I'm late to the game. All of these people are so far ahead of me. I don't have all of the things that I want. I don't have the infrastructure that I want. I don't have the reach that I want. I don't have the voice that I want. I thought I was late. I thought I'd missed my boat. And as the year went by and I started doing so much shadow work around my identity, around grief, around loss, around becoming, around coming out of so much, then I realized that it was always there. I this urgency that was driving me thinking that I was late was actually just helping me see that that urgency was a shadow too, that I was pushing myself for no reason to get caught up to nobody, that I was like, once I hit this, then I'll know. Like, I was putting this urgency on myself, which did fuel me in a lot of ways, but it also burnt me out in a lot because I continually felt that it wasn't enough, that nothing I was doing enough, that everywhere, every milestone I reached still wasn't enough. And I wasn't enjoying the process of rediscovery. I was flailing. I was fighting, I was forcing, and all of those F words were holding me back from allowing, from accepting, and from aligning into what I knew was authentic for me. And once I did that, once I released and was like, I'll figure it out, the book deal landed in my inbox. My podcast blew up and is now highly ranked in the United States. I started getting really clear on what I wanted to do and how I wanted to show up. And then I quit my job to create even more space for that so that I could truly give this the energy that it needed. And now I'm moving with grace and I'm moving with patience and I'm having fun and I'm enjoying this process. And that was a huge shift for me from the forcing to the allowing. And it wasn't that I necessarily like did things differently. I think I'm actually like doing more in terms of like production wise, if that makes sense. But I'm not doing it with this panic. I'm doing it with purpose. And that shift from panic to purpose changed the entire game for me. And that is a full frequency shift. And that is where you get to when you do your shadow work, when you look at your shit, and then you move into what I love to call the afterglow. And I was talking about this last week, and this is the program that I'm building. And I'm so excited about it because it's built on the book, and the book is built on my 6 years of teaching shadow work and this framework that I have seen people move through, that I have moved through myself, that I have hours and hours and hours of proof that it works, that this is the general process that people move through. And this is the method that I have created to move through that. And it's called Afterglow. And the waitlist is open right now. By the time this really matters, the regular page is probably going to be open. If you're listening after May 10th, my 40th birthday, yay, then you're going to be able to enter. But I'm creating this because I am writing about it, first of all, but because I have seen thousands of people literally over the past 6 years when I've been teaching in communities and classes and spaces and workshops and retreats, on summits, on this podcast, like everywhere that I have been teaching shadow work, I've been interacting with people. I have seen them go through this three-step process, which we're going to break down over 8 weeks. And this is the beta version. And because I'm basing this off of the method and the framework of my book, this is going to be my signature program going forward. And I want you to help me build it. I want you to get in with me and tell me what works. Tell me what doesn't. We'll figure this out together. It's going to evolve. It's going to shift. You're going to be like, this fucking sucks. That is really rad. I really felt something from this. This didn't do anything for me. Cut it. And this is why it's priced the way that it is. It is 75% off what it will be once my book launches and comes out next year. And this is me getting this dialed in now. And this is what so many people do. And then you look back and you're like, oh, well, they're just an overnight success. And it's like, no, I ran beta. I got scrappy. I did all of these things. And so if you want to explore your shadow and explore the potential of your afterglow and you want to stop living in fear of taking action and you want to burn everything down, but you're afraid, or you want to just get over these patterns and triggers that keep you held back and stop dating the same person in different bodies, stop experiencing the same patterns over and over without recognizing what it is. And if you're afraid of figuring out what your shadow is, or you don't know where to start, or you're afraid of what you'll find within you, that is why I created my shadow report based on your Chiron in your astrology. It's in your natal chart. It's been there since birth. It tells you exactly what your shadow is. It tells you exactly how it shows up in your life, your patterns, your triggers, your coping mechanisms, all of the life that you created around it. And then it shows you how to work with it, how to turn it into power, and how to solidify your power structure coming from your darkness rather than how many people think that it's coming from the light. You don't gain anything from the light, really. It's easy to live in the light. It's hard to live in the dark. And that grit, that grind, that resilience gives you the power that you need to make your light even brighter. And it's exactly what we're doing in Afterglow. We are identifying and working through the darkness, where you're learning how to dance with your darkness, how to integrate it and include it in your life. And then you're experiencing the magnetism, the manifestation, the alignment, the purpose, the everything falling into place because you have that single point of light in the afterglow. And I'm so excited about this. The link is down below, whether you're listening before May 10th and you're on the wait list, or you're listening after and you get into the full program. We start in June. It's 8 weeks. It's going to be every Tuesday. And I just can't wait for this. I'm so excited. I'm so fired up because this is exactly what I've experienced. And I was so impatient getting here. And then once we crossed into the new year, into the new astrological year, into the new seasonal year at the vernal equinox on March 20th, into Aries season and like spring, it all made sense. It all crystallized. It all came together. And that impatience that I was feeling before, that scattered, that panic, that urgency all came into alignment, into purpose. And this was born. And this is the product of doing this work. And I am the billboard. I am the poster child of doing this work because I have been through so much in life and recently that I have alchemized, that I have looked at. And that is why I am able to experience and to dance in and bask and to enjoy my afterglow. So if this sounds like something you're interested, the link is down below. At least do your shadow report to find your Chiron. That is going to show you exactly what you need to work on, and you're going to feel a lot of relief. It might, you know, be a little overwhelming at first because you're like, well, shit, now all of these things, but you need to know. This is something that is like a very need to know basis for your life. And it totally takes away the question of, I don't know where to start and I'm afraid of what I'll find, because those are the two biggest factors that I've heard over the past 6 years of people not doing shadow work. They don't know where to start. It's hard. Like all of these things. How do I know? Which trauma do I start with? Where do I go? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm afraid of what I'll find. And I've taken care of both of those for you in this shadow report. And it's free and it's like 7 pages and it's super detailed and it's really great. So at least grab that. Thank you so much for being here. If you love listening and you love spending this time with me, please consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps the podcast so much. It helps us grow. It helps other people find us. And as my book is gearing up to be released, that is going to be super important for growth and for visibility and for getting all of this magic that I'm making out there. So thank you for being here with me. I'm sending you so much love. I'll see you next week. Love, light, and black holes.